Hi, welcome to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. My name is Atisha. In this week's episode, we'll be talking about endometriosis and birth control pills. And I think that's important for you to know all about birth control pills and the different options that they have, as well as just everything that you need to know, because I will let you know, birth control pills are definitely what the doctor are going to try to give you, or will give you, I guess I should say. Depends on if you turn them down or not. Let's jump into this week's episode. Birth control pills. Birth control does involve pills. It can include the shot. It can include an IUD. It can include the ring. It can include they have implants they put under your arm. Can include all types of things. Let's start off with the pill, shall we? So, the birth control pill. What is it about? Why do they give it to you? And all of that. So, birth control pill is supposed to basically, on some level, mimic the hormones. So, it helps your period. Now, let's think about that for a second. So we have endometriosis, and we have painful periods. So they are putting you on birth control to help, as they say, regulate your period. Now, let's think about that. Our hormones are natural, what our body produces. Estrogen, testosterone, all of that. So, we're taking a pill that has artificial, synthetic, fake, whatever you want to call it, hormones that are going to interact with our natural hormones in our body to prevent pregnancy. So, we're putting fake hormones in our body to prevent pregnancy because it prevents the egg from releasing in the ovary. So, if the egg isn't in the ovary, then it can't meet up with the sperm and you can't get pregnant. And it also thickens up the mucus of the cervix, which is another way for it to stop. Now, what is the reasoning for birth control pills and endometriosis? Well, endometriosis causes painful periods. And sometimes, some people have painful ovulation. Now, if the pill can stop the body from releasing an egg, which when the egg is not fertilized, then it comes out right as your period. So that's what all of that is. The egg doesn't get fertilized and it comes out. Okay. So, if the egg is not releasing, then on some level, depending on what birth control pills you have, you're not getting a period. So if you're not getting a period, you're not complaining to the doctor about, I'm having severe cramps, I'm bloated, ovulation hurts, what, you know, any of those things. Because you're not having a period. So I can't complain about my period if I don't have a period. Now, just because you don't have a period does not mean that endometriosis is not growing and or spreading. Endometriosis is still there. And honestly, some things that I have read seem to think hormones do play a role with endometriosis. So, you know, we've got real hormones and synthetic hormones that are in your body to not have you have a period, to make you not think about endometriosis, to make you not go to the doctor as often. So if we're stopping periods, you as the patient are feeling like, okay, well, I'm not going to have problems with my endometriosis. Well, that's not the case. Honestly, the pill is masking your symptoms. If I don't have a period, I can't feel what's going on. So if I don't have a period, I can't feel that something's going on with ovulation. I can't feel that my period, I don't have a period, so I don't know, my periods are getting longer. They're getting heavier. My cramps are getting worse. Having more clots, all of that signal different things. I'm having bloating for most of the month due to my period. I'm having just really bad issues around the time of my period. Well, I can't say that I'm not having a period. And part of that is, again, masking your symptoms of endometriosis. That's the pill. I mean, everything works the same way. We have the shot. You know, basically you get the shot, what is it, every 3 months maybe? Never used the shot personally. The doctors talked to me about it. Really don't, you know. So, honestly, I decided I'm not going to do birth control anymore. Done it for years. Not worth it. Not going to do it. But the doctor keeps, you know, wanting to talk to you about it. You know, they say, how about the shot? How about no? You know, some people take the shot. Kind of works in the same way as a pill. Easier for some people who don't want to take something every day. The shot, you know, it's given to you every 3 months. It's progesterone. They have a couple different types. You know, basically same thing. Now, the shot, you don't get your period, but sometimes it might take longer. Like, it says, you know, you stop having your period between 6 to 12 months after being on the shot. You get the shot every 3 months. So, there you go. You know, they claim your period comes back after you stop taking the shot. Again, like I said, I've never taken the shot, so I don't know how soon after you get off the pill, I mean, off the shot, you get your period back. Like, I know some women mention that they don't get their period back right away after they get off the pill. I've been off the pill for a year, honestly. I got off the pill in June of 2019, so it's been a little over a year, and I have had periods ever since then. I mean, my period, like, I've had, when I got off the pill, I've still had regular periods, so it's not a month that I missed. So, getting off birth control does not affect my periods in terms of not having them. When I was on birth control, well, the last birth control I was on, I guess I should say, I've been on the pill, different pills for many years, because that's what the doctor tells you, and we don't know, most of the time we don't know better. Now I know better, we're not going to accept that. But at the time, the pill that I was on, I did not have my period. So I ended up getting off of it, honestly, because I had a really bad cyst that was on my left ovary that sent me to the ER. And I know I've mentioned it before, not someone who likes to go to ER. It's not a fun time for me. ER, honestly, I feel like is a nightmare. First off, they make you sit there one time. That's one of the things. Second of all, I'm a hard stick in terms of to get blood, get IV, all of that. So, you know, that's part of the issue is when I went to ER back in June 2019, honestly, let's see, I was stuck 4 times and never could get an IV in me. Had a vein blown in my arm, which still, you know, my vein still is kind of looks funky at that point, honestly, there. It was bruised so bad and was green and all this other stuff because the lady decided that she wanted to stick the needle, the nurse, I guess I should say, that she was trying to take blood from a vein in my inner arm. So it blew up and it was very painful. It looked like, you know, it was a very horrible bruise. Never had a bruise like that before. It was very painful. Honestly, it was embarrassing to wear short sleeve shirts. We're in the summer, mind you, it was last June. Embarrassing to wear shirts because the short sleeve shirts, you could see my bruise underneath it. And I, you know, wore it one day thinking the shirt was long enough. Some, you know, cashier at the store made a comment, you know, what happened to your arm? Honestly, it got messed up, you know, down at ER. They blew the vein, you know, so I pulled up my shirt, showed her the big thing, and she's like, oh my gosh. So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons I don't like going to ER. I was there for, close to 2 hours, maybe? When they finally decided that they were not gonna, they did get blood. They did were able to get a little bit of blood. But they finally decided about 2 hours in, I was there like four and a half hours. They finally decided 2 hours in and 4 sticks that they weren't gonna get an IV in me. So they would just give me oral pain medicine, which I feel like they should have done if you couldn't have gotten it on like the third try, okay, before your lady bruised my arm. Honestly, I feel like you should have come up with that. So, honestly, there's one place where it seems like they're able to get my blood, and they don't have any problems with it, and no, and everyone else does. So, that's one reason, you know, I don't like going to the ER. You're there, basically. I feel like this. Most of the time, I personally leave in more pain than when I went because they have stuck me so many times because I might, you know, and not been able to get the blood, okay? Not been able to get an IV. So I've gotten stuck unnecessarily, which is very painful when you blow somebody's vein. If you haven't had your vein blown, count yourself as blessed. And then you just spend all day there. So it's like, I've spent several hours here. I'm in more pain because you've bruised and or busted a vein or two. And, you know, you're spending all that money. So ER is definitely not an option. I don't like going to ER. I only go to ER when I absolutely have to. And it seems like cysts have gotten bad lately that have sent me to ER. But that's a different story. So I had a cyst really bad that sent me to ER, and so I just decided that I was, I think I was pretty much done with that pack, or I had a couple days or whatever. So basically, I finished that pack of birth control pills. I think I had like a couple days left or something. Or it was either the last day or a couple days or something. Anyway, I finished that pack, and then I said I wasn't starting another one, because I'm like, I'm on birth control. Just to, let's see, suppress my endometriosis symptoms, which we really officially didn't know I had endometriosis then, but I had painful periods and all of that and cramps. So to suppress that, we're going to put me on the pill. Then I got this horrible cyst, and I was just like, you know, I was just like done with it. I'm like, why am I getting cysts on the pill? Which some people say you can, some people say you can't. And, you know, And it's just painful. And I was like, did not want to go to the ER, the whole ER fiasco. So I decided I was going to stop taking my pill. How did my doctor take it, OBGYN? Don't think she was too happy. But at that point, when she found out, she told me when I went in to see her that I was, well, we kind of made the decision, I guess, about having surgery, the laparoscopic procedure. So I don't think she was really too gung-ho about it, but it's, again, on the same token, I don't think she really worried that much about it, because honestly, I stopped it, so maybe I'd be without being on the pill, maybe. Maybe 2 months, if that, because her plan was to put me on other birth control, but we're not quite there in the story yet. So, that's, okay, so we have birth control pills, we have the shots, okay, also, they have an IUD, so the IUD is inserted into your uterus. Okay? That sounds very painful, right? They try to deaden it down there, but, you know, you still kind of feel it. Okay. So, the IUD is called uterine device. It's T-shaped, okay? So it's inserted in your uterus to provide birth control. It's inserted at your doctor's office, okay? Normally, it's just something that they do, you know, like an outpatient procedure, all of that. So, you know, basically, works the same way. It is, you know, inserted in there. You don't have to take a shot. You don't have to take pills. So basically, you put it in there and leave it in there. You leave it in there for 5 years. The majority of them are 5 years, but everyone is different. So 5 years approximately is the average. Some work a little longer. I heard there are a few that last for up to 7 years. And I think they have another one that might even last up to 12 years. But most of them are like 5 years. They have a couple different ones. So, the thing about that is, it is something that you're going to do 4 years if you want to. It can always be removed. That has to be done at the doctor as well, the removal. So, we're thinking, so this is what you're going to use if you know for a fact, probably. You don't want to get pregnant right now, and that works best for you because you don't want to have to remember to take the pill every day, and you don't want to get the shot every 3 months, so then they have the IUD. So, let's talk about the IUD. So, the IUD is, like I said, it's like an outpatient procedure, basically done at the doctor's office. Doctor has you and you're in stirrups, so it's almost like you're having your pap smear. Tries to deaden the area, you know, as best as they can. If they can't deaden it too much, with some lidocaine, and then they're supposed to insert it. Okay, so my doctor, my OBGYN, when was this? Maybe, can't remember. It was maybe, was it 14? No, let's see. Was it, I don't remember. Was it, or maybe it was later. Maybe it was 16. I don't remember. Somewhere between 14 and 16, I feel like. Maybe it was, I don't know, 14, maybe it's 15, 16, somewhere in that time frame. OBGYN is thinking that, you know, instead of taking the pill, let's do the IUD. Because I have no, you know, I don't know. That's what she's thinking. You know, we can have the IUD. We can leave it in there. It'll be better and all this stuff. So at that point, you know, honestly, I hadn't thought much about having kids at that point and all of that. So it's like, okay, well, you know, again, you're like, you know, listen to the doctor. Okay, well, let's do an IUD. Okay. So my doctor is a specialist. Okay. So I go to get an IUD. I don't remember exactly which year it is, but I do know it was in the month of December. I do know that much. Because it was like the end of December, I want to say. So it was like right before the end of the year. My doctor could not get the IUD in, okay? So, you know, it's like, it was uncomfortable. I'm not going to say it's unbearable, but it was uncomfortable. But the more she tried to get it in there, and the more times she tried, because she tried a good 3-4 times, the more times she tried, then the more painful it hurt, like cramping, like everybody cramping. So she could not get it in, and she's like very frustrated. And she's like, well, if you want to get this in, we'll have to schedule you for surgery. Come again? So, okay, so let's get this straight. So to put me on birth control, you want to schedule a surgery. So that means I have to go to the hospital, that I have to get an IV, I am wheeled into the OR, you're going to put me to sleep to put an IUD in because you can't get it in the office, okay? That is just ridiculous to me. I turn that down. That's just stupid to me. Why are we going to go through all of that? Okay, so you're going to put me through a necessary surgery to put an IUD in because you can't get it in. Honestly, I feel like the IUD not going in is a sign that I don't need that in my body and that it wasn't the right choice for me. That's how I feel personally. Because honestly, she claims she got a whole bunch of them in and she was good at it, but she was not good at getting the IUD in me. And that is not, and that's the first time, second time, most recently, last year, my doctor wanted to put an IUD in after my laparoscopic surgery when I was already asleep. Because she once said, you should get an IUD. And I'm like, I tried to get an IUD. It didn't work. That's okay. And she's like, well, we can put it in after your surgery. You already be asleep. We'll be in there. It'll be fine. No, thank you. I'm going to turn it down. You know, tried to do it the first time. Didn't work out. And then you want to do surgery. And then you're going to put it in me when I'm sleeping. You know, I'm good on the IUD. I don't need it. Thank you. So they said, you know, make sure you tell your doctor, make sure you tell your doctor. So I told my doctor the day of surgery, like right before the doctor comes and talks to you, right before surgery, I'm like, you know, I don't want the IUD. You could tell she was not happy about it. And I'm like, you know, I don't want the IUD. I want to do natural. Not trying to. Again, she was not happy about it. So, you know, that's the shot. Basically, same thing. So we've got the shot, the IUD. So that's the IUD. The IUD is basically the shot and the IUD are both something. Basically, the doctor does per se. The doctor puts an IUD and the doc, you know, like the nurse or whatever, you go to the doctor's office to get your shot. But they're not things that you do at home. And then you can get, there are different birth control pills that just have, you know, certain hormones, not all the hormones in it, like maybe it just has testosterone, or maybe it's not estrogen, or maybe it's low estrogen and all of that. So one of the other birth control pills that they have is an implant. Now, I don't know about you, but having something implanted under my arm, not sounding like a fun time to me. I don't know how that works. in terms of, is it painful? I don't know, the procedure, I don't know, how it works. I don't know how they get it in your arm, honestly. Again, I'm going to assume it's the doctor's office, where I pretty much know you're going to the doctor's office. I don't know if it feels like a shot. I don't know that much about the actual process of getting the implant in your arm. But I do know it lasts for up to 4 years. And they... you know, if I haven't per se been asked to get, the implant, we've talked about the birth control pills, I've been on birth control pills, still get asked about birth control pills, mentioned birth control pills, honestly, last doctor visit. So, IUD, that's been mentioned, more than once. I told you the stories about that. The shot was brought up, in the last week. It was brought up in the last week and was brought up a few months ago, so we're talking about the shot. Now, the implant was mentioned in terms of, the doctor was going over all of the different birth controls, so the implant was mentioned in terms of, that's one form of birth control, but it's not like you should get it. Another option, but it was put last. So it's supposed to, the implant is really, really small. It's supposed to be really, really small. It goes under your skin of your upper arm. Okay? So that is progesterone. Okay? So progesterone is what's in the implant, so it thickens mucus on the cervix, which stops the sperm from getting to your egg. Okay, again, we talk about sperm and egg don't meet up, no pregnancy. It also stops eggs from leaving your ovaries, aka stops ovulation. So we don't have ovulation, we're not getting pregnant, because the egg and sperm have to come together, and if we're stopping both of them, then it's not. So, it does, most of the birth controls are effective for the most part with pregnancy, but you just have to think about why they're giving it to you. It's not necessarily to stop pregnancy, it is to stop your period, which stops you from going to the doctor or from complaining to them about your endometriosis symptoms, because most of the ways that we know we have endometriosis normally has something to do with our period. Okay, so heavy period, cramping, just all of that stuff that all kind of relates around our period. Now, we can have, not painful sex has nothing really to do with our period. We can have painful bowel movements, which doesn't have it. But some of the major ones have something to do with our period. So if we can get our period per se under control or stopped, then you won't be complaining about endometriosis and you have masked your symptoms. But while we're masking your symptoms, your endometriosis is probably still growing, spreading, and just because you're not having a period does not mean you're still not having period issues. And the longer that you mask it on some level, it could be the... let me explain it. When you're on birth control, the pill, the patch, we didn't talk about the patch yet, but we will. The pill, the patch, the IUD, all of that. you are not having a period, or if you are, you're having like a synthetic fake period. Okay? That's when your period comes, depending on what your pill package or however it works is. When you get a period, it is like a fake period. It is synthetic. So your period is not, your period on birth control is not how your period is off of birth control. So once you come off birth control, your periods are heavier, more painful. You can have some clots, just everything that it wasn't on the pill. For me, I didn't have periods for the most part. I'd have periods every once in a while. And it wasn't something, I mean, it was so like unpredictable. I couldn't even tell you, you know, when my period was coming. But since I got off the pill, then my period comes like clockwork. I know when it's going to come. It comes on time, or if it is, you know, sometimes when you change up different things, like I've started exercising more. And when I've exercised more or different things, then I've noticed that it changes, like my period is off a couple days. Like it comes a couple days late. But it still comes, you know, it still comes every month. It comes like clockwork. And that's how it is. So, the last one that we'll talk about is the patch. We have another one to talk about, so the patch is not the last one, I guess. But we'll talk about the patch now. So, the patch. Well, you replace the patch. Basically, you replace the patch every week. It's like a square band-aid. Okay, so you put it on your arm again. So, a lot of these are on your arm. So it is, you know, basically works the same way, but it has estrogen and progesterone. You place it on there for 3, you do a patch on, you change every week, you do that for 3 weeks, and then the last week, then you don't have it, so you can get your period. Now again, I've never used the patch, so I'm not sure how often you get your period, or if, you know, at some point your period stops like it does, you know, with the pill and all the other stuff. So I'm not sure about the patch, in terms of, does it stop your period and all that. But based on the hormones and everything, I assume that all of the birth control, at some point, depending on your body, might stop your period. And so then that's kind of another thing, too, is if you're on birth control and you don't get your period, then you have sex, you don't know if you're pregnant or you're just not getting your period because it's normal. So I just feel like that causes more problems as well. So the last, I jumped ahead of myself. So the last birth control, actually, we're going to talk about now is the ring. Now, the ring is just something that, honestly, let's see, how can I describe what the ring looks like? Oh, just a little plastic, flexible piece. What can I say it looks like? I don't know, maybe it kind of resembles like a little plastic oval shape. Okay, so it works like the pill, but you only insert it, but it's inserted once a month. Okay, so, you know, we have birth control pills that we take every day, we have the shot that we take 3 months, we have the IUD that lasts up to, some of them last up to 7 to 12 years, we have the patch, which we replace every week for 3 weeks. And then we've got the ring, which we do once a month. So as you can see, we have a wide variety. Again, IUD, birth control ring, birth control pills, patch, shots. Always do the same thing. Prevents pregnancy by releasing hormones into your body. So this, the only difference is the birth control ring is going inside your vagina. It's not going in your mouth. It's not going in your arm, because most of the stuff was in your arm, right? The shot goes in your upper arm. The implant goes in your upper arm. The patch goes in your upper arm. So the ring is actually something that goes inside and works that way. So again, it's stopping ovulation like all the other ones, hormones. So you put it in, just honestly, you put it in the ring is like putting in a tampon. So it stays in terms of the, just like we did with the patch, it looks like, you know, 3 weeks. So we lose the ring in for 3 weeks, okay? Then we take it out. And then after that, then our period should come in. So, you know, after you take it out, then you should set your period and you should put a new one in exactly a week after you took the old one out. So you have to put it in the same day. The same, just like everything has to be the same. So for example, let's say I had the birth control ring and I took it out. Today is Friday. Okay, so I took the birth control ring out on Friday. So let's say, hypothetically, I took it out today. So I'm going to leave it out until next Friday, okay? So next Friday is the 31st. So sometime between today and next week, I should get my period. Then I insert a new ring whether I'm on my period or not. So let's say my period comes Tuesday, and I, you know, it goes for 5 days, so it'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I gotta put my new ring back in on Friday, but I'm still bleeding. That's fine. You put it back in on the same day regardless. That's like clockwork. So you have to make sure that you keep track of what day you took it out, so you make sure you put it in the same day. That's all about timing. It sounds like, honestly, that's like the pill in terms of you've gotta take it personally the same time, like every day. This is what they tell you about birth control. You should take it the same time every day about the pill. Some people do, some people don't. It's most effective if you do. So those are the different birth controls that you're going to hear about, and more than likely you have endometriosis, your OBGYN we'll be talking to you about the different birth control pills, shots, the implant, the ring, and the patch to see which one works best for you. Again, everyone's body is different. So that's something to think about too. Some people, I have heard, cannot take birth control. They say the birth control just does not work with their body and gives them problems, and it's just something that does not work for them. And every birth control is different. One may not work for you, so your doctor may try you on another one. So ideally, you could be trying different birth control pills if they don't work, or different birth control methods. If the pill doesn't work, the patch doesn't work, the ring, whatever you want to do, all of that. Now, I personally, like I said, I am not going to do birth control anymore. I have done birth control for off and on. I'm going to say I've done birth control off and on for at least the last 15 years or so, more on than off. I did have a few, you know, I did have some time here and there where I wasn't out, like a couple of years here and a couple of years there. But I do know that personally, my personal experience is I've tried several different pills. Like, over the years, I've tried at least 5 different types, if not more, of different brands of birth control. But I remember it had to be not long, maybe a year or two after I started taking birth control, that they switched me to a different pill. Maybe, I don't know what happened with the pill, but something happened and the doctor said they had to switch me. And you're thinking, I'm like, okay, well, all the pills are the same. You know, I was young. I didn't know. I was in my early 20s, so I was young, didn't know much about it. So I'm like, okay, so it should all be the same. Okay, that pill, honestly, switching to that pill made sex painful, okay? So after I took that pill, sex was painful. Honestly, sex was painful from that point on all the way up until after I had my, you know, my surgery. So we're talking about, that was probably
maybe it was longer than that.
Because I know for a fact that was probably 15 or 16 years. So I probably started the pill probably 17 years ago, maybe? Somewhere in there. Because I know for a fact that sex was painful 15 years ago. I do know that for a fact. And, you know, I was told, birth control can't make sex painful and this, that. But it can. It's all about how your body responds to the hormones. So, I don't know exactly because I didn't have the surgery back then, but either it irritated my endometriosis or it irritated something where it made sex painful and nothing would work. Like, they, you know, like, just nothing would work. So, you know, I feel like I feel like the birth control pills made endometriosis worse, and I didn't really know that much about endometriosis. I mean, I had a doctor that briefly talked about it, but I feel like it made the endometriosis worse or grow or something, because it's like, it was not painful before, but once I switched to those pills, it became painful. Kind of makes you think. Also, there are just all types of things. You know, research is another thing if you want to do medication. Now, there is a new medication. I think it's been out maybe a year, so that doctors keep wanting to prescribe for endometriosis. And I have heard some not so nice things about it. It's not quote unquote a birth control pill, but it is supposed to help with endometriosis. Now that I have heard horrible stories about it. Horrible stories. And technically, your doctor's only supposed to keep you on the high dose of the medicine for 6 years because it can mess up with your bones. So, you know, I've heard if you want to take it longer than 6 months, you got to get a bone density and see how your bones are doing to stay on it. I've heard just people have all types of nasty side effects, and it's just something that you should research for yourself to see if birth control of any kind is worth it for you. And I know endometriosis is so painful. So painful that we're just looking for relief. It can mess with our daily lives like no other. But please be aware that if you do take that, know there are risks to everything. And you're not stopping endometriosis. You're just masking it and stopping ovulation. So it's stopping your period. It's not stopping the endometriosis. So, if you have any questions or want to talk about today's topic or any previous topic, you know how to reach me. Leave. You can always message me and I will get back to you. If you want to come on the show, we'd love to have you. And that's what I have to talk about for this week's show. Now, the next show that we're having on Saturday, August 8th at 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, that show, I am going to do a flashback of sorts because it's been 1 year since my laparoscopic surgery. I can't believe it's been 1 year. I will give an update on how I'm doing. I'll give an update on changes that I've made since I've had my surgery, how it's going. I will just give you all of the tea that, and about all the changes that have happened, how things are going, and just everything. So, you don't want to miss that episode. Like I said, it's the next one. It's Saturday, August 8th, 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. It's, you know, talking about a year post-op. Can't believe it's been a year. If you have questions prior to that, you know, send them to me, message me. We will be answered. I'll answer questions before. I can answer questions after. I'm always here to educate. If you have a topic that you want me to discuss that I haven't, then I will definitely do that. I try to keep track and see what topics are relevant to you guys, which you like the best, and try to do some of the shows I'm going to do part twos of that were popular, and see if I can get more information about it. But again, I thank you, my listeners. I have some big shows coming up here in the next couple months. You know, 1 year post-op is one. Coming up on an episode milestone. Coming up on the official year that I started making endometriosis journey to butterfly. I did have a intro, you know, episode, but from when I really started making them, that's when I'm going to celebrate my 1 year. So I have some of those fun things coming up. And I thank you for listening. I love and appreciate all of my listeners from all across the world. And I just have so many. So I just want to thank you all over the world. I hope you guys are staying safe, staying healthy. Thank you for all of the support that you show me. I'm coming out, hopefully, with some things this year, more information, education. I'm hoping to get a website up to educate more and do some more teaching. So that is all I have for this week's episode. Again, please tune in for that big show. Next episode, I know I've said it, Saturday, August 8th, 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm so excited, and my journey to become an endometriosis journey to butterfly, my journey was cemented actually on that day when that's when I had my surgery, and then that's officially, even though I didn't get the results back, I feel like that's officially the day that I was diagnosed with endometriosis, because that's when she took it out. So that's a big, huge deal to me. Being an endo warrior, you know, it means so much. So thank you. Please tune in. As always, I wish you the best week ever, as well as great health. Stay safe. And I know we're going through a rough time here in the world with everything that's going on. So let's stay positive. And now more than ever, we need to practice self-care and try to take care of ourselves. Well, thank you for tuning in to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I will talk to you again soon. Bye.